Good evening and welcome to this meeting of Rydale District Council's Planning Committee. We're not expecting a fire alarm tonight, so if it does sound, it is for real. Please leave the building by the rear doors or the door to my right and congregate in the top car park. Ladies and gents' toilets are in the corridor along with drinking water. Please can you ensure your mobile phones are switched off or on silent. We do have a number of speakers tonight. Each speaker will have 3 minutes, and I will give an audible warning when there are 30 seconds left. Do all members have a copy of the agenda papers? Lovely. Agenda item one, apologies for absence. Have we received any apologies?
Apologies have been received by Councillor Goodrick. Councillor Val Arnold will substitute.
Thank you. Agenda item two, declarations of interest. Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Item six, I've been lobbied on a number of directions. It's personal, non-prejudicial, non-pecuniary.
Thank you. Councillor Jean Udine.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Item number seven, I'm the ward member. I've been lobbied non-personal, non-pecuniary, non-prejudicial.
Thank you. Councillor Windrus.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Agenda item number six, I've been lobbied. It's personal, non-prejudicial, non-pecuniary.
Councillor Hope.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. Exactly the same. Item number six. Thank you.
Councillor Paul Andrews.
Item number six again, Chairman. I've been lobbied by both sides.
Thank you.
Personal, non-prejudicial.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs Shields.
Thank you. Items number six and eight, personal, non-prejudicial.
Thank you. Councillor Maud.
Thank you, Jim. I've been lobbied on item number six, personal, non-prejudicial. Thank you.
And I've been lobbied on item number six, personal, non-prejudicial, non-pecuniary. Thank you. Sorry, beg your pardon. Councillor Arnold.
Same, item six. I've just been lobbying on item six.
Thank you. Agenda item three, minutes of the meeting held on the 3rd of July. Do we agree that these are a correct record? I'll move them from the chair. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Cleary. I will now put the minutes to the vote. Thank you. Those have been approved. Moving on to agenda item four, urgent business. I have no urgent business, but I would like to express my sincere condolences to the family of Alderman Ken Binks, who served on the council as member of the Northern Area Planning Committee for many years and chairman of council. A service of thanksgiving will be held at St Saviour's Church, Hareham, on Friday the 17th of August at 1:30. Agenda item 5 is schedule of items to be determined by committee. Moving on to agenda item 6, application at 5 Wellham Road, Norton.
Thank you, Chairman. Just a couple of quick updates on this item. I hope members have all got the late pages, because a matter of a few hours after we'd published the Planning Committee agenda, the MPPF was published, which resulted in various of the paragraphs and items in the original committee report having to be then re-evaluated and cross-referenced and see whether the words were the same. In many respects, the issues relating to flood risk and sequential tests and the issue referred to in the report are very, very similar. But you'll note in the late pages that we did publish a full report taking account of the new National Planning Policy Framework as of just over a week ago. So the full report is in page 10 to 46 of the main agenda, but the amended and updated report is on pages 3 to 21 of the late pages. There is a slight correction to that amended report, in the sense that the reasons for refusal, if you look at reason 2, still refers to planning policy framework 2012. That should be 2018 now, Chairman. The paragraph numbering is actually as it is renumbered in the revised national planning policy framework. So that's just a correction and an update, Chairman. I have no other updates to the report, but what I would like to do just quickly before we move to speakers, Chairman, I think we've got two speakers on this item tonight, I'll just quickly take members through some visuals of the site and surrounding area, which hopefully will assist you in your questions and debate. So apologies for the darkness of this, Chairman, but this is a view taken from Wellham Road, and this is the turning into Springfield Garth, which is just to the south of the application site. And in the foreground here, I think if you see, this is referred to in the report as a community office. I think it was formerly a Weybridge hut. And the application site lies behind the back of that, behind these hoardings here. Further in the background, you can see buildings, the profile of buildings in this area here, which are buildings in St Nicholas Street. This is a view taken from immediately in front of the site. So this is the site that was formerly occupied by the Dewhurst factory clothing site some years ago. That factory ceased to operate quite a long time ago, and although it ceased to operate, there was a very large building which was suffering from the effects of vandalism and all sorts of things over the years. And in the relatively recent past, this site was hoarded off and the building demolished. So the site's now effectively a cleared site, although you can see the remains of the contractor's huts that were associated with that demolition work. This is a view from the other direction, so this is immediately to the north of the site, so this is the Barker's car sales premises, and obviously you see the buildings, which themselves are a combination of single storey and two storey flat roof buildings, various cars for sale. And on the opposite side of the road, this is the car park to the Lidl store. So I hope that sort of gives you some context. This is a view taken from within Springfield Garth. So this is the relatively modern development to the south of the site. I say relatively modern, it probably dates to the 60s and 70s sort of era, but modern in the context of St Nicholas Street, which is a lot older. And this is the boundary of the site here, which is actually the site behind the back of these rather significant conifers here. These are properties on Wellham Road, and this is the office that I referred to in the first photograph. This view, on this right-hand side of this picture, is the hoarded-off section of the north. This is the boundary with the Barker's garage site here. So again, this is the side entrance where you can see those cars parked up. This is a view within the site, so this is the other side of that hoarding that I was showing you. So this is all screened off from public view at the moment, but as you can see, it has a somewhat derelict appearance. So as I pan through these next few sites, you'll see views along this boundary with the backs of the properties in St Nicholas Street. So again, you can see that you're looking at the backs of these terrace properties in this area here, and in fact the back of the properties is the line of the designated conservation area. So the site's not in the conservation area, but it's immediately adjacent to it. Panning round, you can just catch in the background, there's a property that's set behind the frontage of buildings in Springfield Garth and St Nicholas Street here. This is the property referred to on the plans as the Old Pottery, and that's a listed building. But you get a feel for how the site now is. So once upon a time, there was a very extensive two-storey factory building in this part of the site here, all now demolished. These are close-ups, more close-ups of the boundary here. So beyond the garage premises where there is this hoarding, there is then essentially a sort of brick wall which is associated with the outbuildings associated with the properties in the conservation area in St Nicholas Street. Actually, some of these properties have been extended in a probably not too sympathetic manner in the past. and then panning across, you get a feel for the properties in Springfield Garth, which are of a lot later era. And this is more of a close-up of the old pottery. So as you can see, the site is in a somewhat derelict appearance at the moment. This is a view from the back of the site looking forward towards Wellham Road in this area here. So these are properties which front onto Wellham Road, and this is the Lidl store in the background with the Barker's car sales and showroom here. So that's it, Chairman. Nothing more to add at this stage, Chairman.
Thank you. Our first speaker is Councillor Keel.
Thank you, members and Madam Chairman, for allowing me to speak to the committee tonight. This development lies within my ward, and I think the pictures that we've just seen do illustrate that the site is in a somewhat derelict state, and I think a lot of residents in that area would like to see something happen on the site. I think our argument is this is not the right proposal. I've talked to lots of local residents about this development, and I think that our concerns fall into three main areas, which are covered in the officer's report, but there's just a few things I'd like to stress on those matters. Highway safety, congestion and air pollution, flood risk, which as members know is very close to my heart, and the location of the planned development. Most members will be aware that changes in traffic priorities in Norton around the level crossing have led to what can only be described as traffic chaos at certain times of the day, at the junction of Church Street, Wellham Road and County Bridge. A knock-on impact of this change has seen increased traffic on St Nicholas Street as motorists try to avoid this junction. Adding a garage development into this area and the resulting increased vehicle movements of people going to purchase petrol using the on-site shop that's proposed, plus deliveries of fuel and goods to that shop, will only add to the traffic congestion that we face in the area. Several accidents have occurred in the area of the junction, plus literally dozens, and that is not an exaggeration, dozens of near misses. And there are serious concerns for pedestrian safety, which is already a problem in the area, and will only be made worse if this development is allowed to go ahead. Members should bear in mind that Wellham Road is a popular residential area, widely used by local school children to access schools, and parents with smaller children going to nearby nursery schools. To date, no one, fortunately, has been seriously injured in an accident in the area, but adding the additional vehicles to the mix that this development would bring can only increase that risk level. Traffic is regularly backed up along Wellham Road, and adding extra vehicles from this development will only add to this overburdened highway, especially in the next year when the planned increase in rail traffic takes place, which will result in the level crossing being down 4 times an hour and make the traffic problems worse. Residents will also object on the grounds of air pollution levels in the area, which have increased since the junction priority changed. Sorry. I'll move on. Members will be aware of flooding problems in the area, and we'll remember the major floods. Fortunately, we don't suffer from those big floods anymore, but this site still sits in flood zone 3, and we do have flooding still as a problem in the town. If underground petrol tanks were breached in the event of a flood, floodwaters and watercourses would be contaminated with petrol. Members, I would suggest that allowing a development of this, such as this in a floodplain would be foolish in the extreme. And as we've already heard in the report, according to the flooding sequential test, this is an inappropriate site. Finally, because I am rapidly running out of time.
Wow.
Sorry. In terms of planning, it also fails the retail sequential test. Members, I just urge you to listen to the views of local people who are strongly opposed to this application. Yes, we think something is to happen on this site, but this is not what needs to happen. Please follow the officer's recommendation and refuse this application. Thank you.
Thank you. We now have the agent, Mr. Laws. Mr. Laws, I will give you 3 minutes and 38 seconds. If you'd press the middle button, please. Thank you.
Good evening, and thank you for the opportunity to speak in support of this planning application. My name is Jason Lowes. I'm a partner in the planning department at Rapleys, representing the applicant BP. I'm sure that members will be aware of the site, which has been vacant and unused for many years. It is a brownfield site well within settlement boundaries and a highly sustainable location for development in principle. During the application process, we have worked closely with your officers to resolve any matters that have arisen. Notwithstanding this, your officers are recommending that planning permission be refused, as it is considered that insufficient information has been provided as to why this development could not be accommodated on the former livestock site. However, this position is misconceived. Firstly, the nature of the scheme needs to be recognised. It is typical of a modern petrol filling station facility, and the M&S branding within the forecourt shop is designed to meet modern customer expectations. In planning terms, petrol filling stations are sui generis. There is therefore no requirement for local or national retail policies for them to be subject to sequential testing. Put simply, your officers are recommending that you refuse planning permission on the basis of policies which are not applicable. However, notwithstanding this, we have sought to provide comfort to your officers that the former livestock site is not suitable for this proposal. We have provided them with an explanation from BP why the site is not suitable for one of their petrol filling stations, even if it was available. In addition, we have provided a letter from an expert land agent who has confirmed it would not meet the requirements of other operators either. The reasons are broad, but essentially, petrol filling stations serve pass-by trade and need a busy road and high levels of traffic in order to be viable. In this context, I note that the case officer's report confirms that the level of traffic passing the former livestock site is half of which passes the application site. Moving on to the flood risk issue, for the same reasons, the former livestock site cannot be considered sequentially preferable. The site just isn't suitable for a petrol filling station. To conclude, the proposal would bring a long vacant brownfield site back into use and improve the appearance of it and the area. In all other respects beyond sequential testing, your officers have confirmed that the proposal is acceptable. Any refusal of planning permission based on sequential testing is not sustainable, not least as we have demonstrated that the livestock site is not an appropriate location for a petrol filling station. Further, if this planning application is refused, I'm instructed by BP that they will not be bringing forward a petrol filling station on the livestock site or any other site in Malta. In this scenario, the investment and jobs that this proposal offers and the forecourt shop offering M&S branded goods will not be brought forward. On behalf of BP, I'd like to thank you all for your time this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the officer? Councillor Andrews.
Yes. Could you, I see it's not just a filling station that we're being asked to approve, it's a kiosk which sells groceries, food and other things. And I see that kiosk has got a ground floor plan of, was it 495 square metres according to the planning application. Could the planning officer give an indication of how big this so-called kiosk would be in relation to, say, the Sainsbury's store, which is in Malta? Would it be twice as big, three times as big? Just to give members an impression of the size of what's proposed.
I don't have the floor area of the Sainsbury's store, which is formerly the Jackson's store, to hand. I'd guess it's marginally smaller. That is, in total. I'm not sure how much of that is bakery and floor area. That's a former agricultural building, I think, in its past. I don't have that information to hand to give you that precisely tonight, Jim. It's a very big kiosk that is what we're looking at, if that's what you want me to give a view on. And certainly, in making this recommendation of refusal, it's not a recommendation that we've taken lightly. Having had... as you can see from the application, we've had this application for some time, but in terms of the responses that it's generated, in terms of some of the objections which have been local residents, some of them have been from local landowners, local to the towns, both towns, clearly some of those issues have made us think that we need expert advice on the strength of some of those objections. So we have taken barrister's advice on this recommendation.
Are there any further questions for the officer? No. Okay, we'll go into debate. Councillor Shields, would you like to take this on?
Yes, I would. Thank you, Madam Chairman. A most important aspect of any planning application this sort of size is to protect the amenity of residents living in the vicinity. And in this case, I think it's imperative. The proposal lies right in the centre of three residential roads, and the site is also within the flood zone. First, a huge amount of traffic would be generated on an already busy Wellham Road, which my colleague has referred to already, which leads right out into the country and has no intersections to halt speed, although it's got 30 miles an hour for most of it from the corner down. But furthermore, entrances to St Nicholas Street and Church Street are only a few hundred yards away. The addition of vehicles of all sizes accessing and egressing a petrol station between parked cars on the opposite side of the road would mean a real hazard for drivers and pedestrians alike. There are parents living in those houses who have children at the county primary school, and they will need to cross the Wellham Road in order to get there. And not everyone has a car, so a lot of people do their walking there. The potential disturbance for all residents in Springfield, Garth and St Nicholas Street from noise and light associated with the application would be all day long. I was horrified to see when I read through to note that the applicant requests opening hours only, it says, only from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m, which would light from 6 to 22 hours. The lighting from a site of this size in particular could be very invasive and very disturbing all those hours. Then there is the smell. I was going to call it an aroma, but I don't think that's the right word. The smell coming from petrol and diesel fumes, not only from the site itself, but from vehicles waiting perhaps to enter the station, those coming out, would not only be very unpleasant, would add to the problems we already have of air pollution in the area. There have long been strenuous efforts to reduce the pollution from Morton downward down Castle Gate across the County Bridge into Church Street and Commercial Street on the northern side. And we don't want to have any further poisoning of the environment from this source. Policy SB19 refers in one little phrase at the end, improving the, there are proposals to improve the environmental conditions of the area. I don't think it applies in this case at all. The location of the site on the floodplain has already again been raised, but it brings concerns if there is leakage or seepage in any way from the underground tanks. It's interesting to note that of the nine applications which there have been, and we've all had a copy of these over the past 8, 9, 10 years, I think, almost all of them have been given permission for buildings which are totally on the surface. Nobody has wanted to go down below the ground, probably because of the threat for the flooding aspect. But unfortunately, none of those has come to fulfilment. The time for each of them has gone. And I think it's very sad that something like a nursery, which I feel would probably be very much wanted in this area, has never actually come to fruition. Pity. The parking. We have enormous parking problems all over. I know Pickering's pretty bad every time I go up there, but Norton and Morton have theirs too. We are actually short of space, and very many people have of necessity to put their cars outside their houses. There is in an evening you can see a whole string of cars down the Wellham Road, the lower part, opposite the proposed site, and further up as well. They were all terrace houses, very nice terrace houses, but they weren't built to have garages because these things weren't necessary at the time. It would be very difficult to have traffic where you can get three people passing at one time on the Wellham Road at the bottom there. But indeed, if we were going to have a whole stream of cars coming in and other vehicles, going to be extremely difficult, and we cannot lose our parking places. I really believe that this is not the right place for this particular site. There are other sites which need to be looked at. I would personally like to suggest that BP go down the York Road to the industrial estate there. It's not far out of Malton, where there'll be plenty of space, and where in fact the chances of it being environmentally unfriendly are a lot smaller. I therefore, Madam Chairman, have much pleasure in supporting the officer's suggestion, and I would like to move refusal for this application and hope that somebody will second it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Maud.
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, I'm very pleased to be able to second this proposal for refusal, and I think Elizabeth has covered this very well. She did mention we don't want any more pollution in St Nicholas Street, but I think there's a lot of pollution there already with traffic queuing along there since the change of the priorities at the junction, and that certainly goes against any development which is going to attract traffic on this particular site. So I am very happy to support Elizabeth's refusal of this. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Paul Andrews.
Yes, Chairman. As a member for Malton, I'm particularly concerned about the impact on the town centre of Malton, because I think we've already established for the local plan that that's where new development should be built. Noted that it said that for this kind of development the LMS site is not suitable. But as I understand it, this development comes of a very large M&S kiosk, and it was M&S who were in negotiation with the Fitzwilliam estate some time ago, and so I cannot see how they can say for that part of the development at least that the LMS is an unsuitable site. As far as investment and jobs are concerned, the more you go away from the local plan, Chairman, and this has been through a long process. The more you go away from the local plan, if you create jobs in one part of the town, you destroy jobs in another part of the town, and you're likely to destroy the character of Malton. And in fact, as far as the sequential test is concerned, I assume the officers, when doing the sequential test, have taken into account not just the petrol filling station, but the kiosk that goes along with it. You cannot do a sequential test which only has regard to the filling station and ignore the rest of it. And on that basis, the sequential test obviously clearly fails. This is not the right place for a petrol station in any event. If you're talking about a large petrol station, you're talking about a motorway site, side petrol station, one that goes beside the A64, one which people will come into as they go to and from Scarborough. You don't want that traffic pouring into the centre of Norton and causing the chaos, which is what residents fear. And I would strongly support refusal.
Thank you. Councillor Potter.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I was remarkably relieved when I got to the back of the documents to see that it said recommend refusal. This is a very good brownfield site and has been for a remarkably long time. It's but not for anything that requires a constant throughput of traffic, given its location. And I think it's just a crying shame that a decent development has never seemed to have come forward when so many greenfield sites are being developed all around the town. I was most concerned to hear the agent say that the sequential test was not valid, in direct opposition to what our officers have said, and I trust that the barrister's advice is good advice on that front. It was interesting to note the provisions or the policies of the NPPF considered against the proposed development, even the new version. Building a strong competitive economy, yeah, all right. But as regards all the rest, vitality of town centres, promoting sustainable transport, achieving well-designed places, and I'll stress that one, meeting the challenge of climate change, flooding, conserving and enhancing the natural environment. Oh, we've got... Oh, no, I'm going on to a repeat one. Yeah, all of those seem... It seems to fail miserably. As a location specifically, I can't see a much worse location for a development such as this, given what we've already heard and what we all know about the traffic congestion, the flood risk, the adjacent railway crossing, the fact that there's already a petrol station up the road, which I know isn't relevant, but it is, and the fact that there are several supermarkets adjacent, which are also exceedingly badly sited in terms of traffic and congestion. So the last thing we need is something to add to all those problems. So yes, I have no problem in supporting the officer's recommendation and Councillor Shields' proposal. Thank you.
Thank you. Does any other member wish to speak? No. Well, it has been moved and seconded for refusal, so I'll now put that to the vote. Thank you. The application has been refused. Moving on to agenda item 7, an application at Velco Industrial Park, Ropery Lane, Weatherthorpe. We do have a number of speakers, but I'll get Gary to outline the application first.
Thank you, Chairman. I've got some photographs which I'll quickly run members through, both of the site and some viewpoints of the surrounding area. What I'd like to just make sure is that members are, have got both the agenda pages and the late pages, as again the full report is in the late pages, and as you'll see that is recommending the application for approval, but I do have some further updates, and also I'm hopeful that members have all got in front of them a copy of a plan which we received yesterday, which was from the agent in response to reading the committee report and the recommended conditions. And this plan that you see before you shows the layout of the site, and you'll see the existing Velco tie unit, which is the grey outline, and then there's a tan coloured U-shaped building and a square building, which are the proposed buildings on the expansion area. And adjacent to the existing Velco tie unit at the back of the site, which is on the adjacent to the southern boundary and the inner boundary of the site as it currently is a hatched area, sort of rather roughly shown on that plan, which is an area which the applicant would still wish to have for external storage of tyres on the existing part of the site. So it's not the whole of the existing site, but that back half of the site. I've got some photographs that we'll show you in a moment, but the condition as worded on the recommendation was suggesting there would be no open storage on any part of the site, including the original site. So the applicants would wish to still retain some open storage on that area. There are already limitations on open storage, heights of storage, sizes of storage, blocks of tyres, which is required through the permitting process that goes on this site through the controls that are administered by the Environment Agency. And amongst other things, that storage does limit tyres to be in piles that are no more than 4 metres in height. So if members are minded to approve the application at the end of all this process this evening, then there is a requirement to amend that no open storage condition to permit storage on this limited part of the existing site, subject to those tyres being stored no more than 4 metres above ground. There is also a requirement for an additional BAT activity survey. An additional BAT activity survey arising from the requirement of the developer to fell two of the trees on the inner boundary, which is currently the inner boundary of the site, which I'll show you on the photographs in a moment. There was some clarification being required as to whether two of the trees were to be retained or not. The applicant has confirmed not, and that there is a possibility that they might function for bat activity and roosting at this time of the year. So that's an additional requirement. I've also received a further email from an occupier of a dwelling from to the north of the site, from a Mrs. House, which we received on Monday via email. That person had already objected to the application, but went on to say that they were still experiencing noise from the existing site, from horns of vehicles entering the site and also from forklift activity. So clearly their concern is that noise would potentially carry on with the development if it was approved. But I don't think there are any more updates, Chairman. So I'll just quickly go on to the photos that I've got on the screen. This first photograph is taken from, well, this is the boundary of the existing site and the nearest trees to that boundary. There's some more photographs of this inner line of trees, all of which are proposed to be felled to make way for the layout that you see on the plans before you. But I'll explain what's required or what's proposed as a replacement. Just in this part of the site, you can see actually there behind the palisade fencing some tyres. So it's a bit dark, but they're stacked one on top of the other. This open area is not effectively used as part of the site at the moment. This is on the northern boundary and it's heading looking eastwards towards properties in Rarey Drive. So if you're looking at your location plan, these properties are on the eastern side of the expansion part of the site. So this is a view back up that inner boundary. So this is the area where this planting, which is quite well established, it's considered, the Countryside Officer thinks it's somewhere in the region of 20 or so years old. It's not that old, but it's well established. This would be removed to effectively create a continuation of the site into the additional parcel of land. I'm sorry for the darkness of this, but this is looking back at the northern boundary of the site, and this outbuilding here, which you should be able to just make out, is a single storey traditional farm building that forms part of Rarey Farm. So that fronts onto the main road, and Rarey Farmhouse is actually Grade 2 listed, so that's one of the listed buildings. And you're looking back at other more industrial, sort of agricultural type buildings in the background there. Here's another view of the properties that form the eastern boundary of the site. So this is sort of existing vegetation on the boundary, and this is Rarey Drive. So you can see this is ex-local authority housing, quite distinctive housing, but you probably don't really see that view because this is the back of them. And this is, again, not sure what somebody's hands there in the photograph, but again, another picture of the building looking back the other way, which is the remnant of the farm, well, the remains of the farm building on the back of Rarey Farm. It's panning round the site just to give some views, but this is the, I guess, the sort of northeast corner of the site. So these are properties in Rarey Drive, and these are properties on the main road. That's the main back of the properties on the main road going through the village of Weaverthorpe. This is panning back the other way, and as you can see, this, although this is shown as an area of open sort of farmland, it's not actively farmed, and there are sort of piles of rubbish, and the report does make reference to the somewhat unkempt nature of the land at the moment. And this is looking back the other way along the main part of the site, so you get a feel for what the scale of these buildings are. The existing buildings are quite substantial buildings, but they're all behind this palisade fence. This is a view looking at the corner of the entrance to that, the expansion site, looking south eastwards. So I hope this starts to give you a feel that the fact that the site's in the valley bottom, and as you're heading southwards, the land rises quite substantially within the Wolds area. So this is the skyline further to the south, and that continues all the way along the southern boundary of the site. The southern boundary of the site itself is actually quite well screened, and I've got some of the photographs which I'll show you in a moment. This is going back to the front of the site next to Ropery Lane. So this is where the staff car parking area is at the front of the site. As you can see, there are quite a number of staff that are sort of engaged in this part of the site when they come to work. As you'll have gathered from the committee report, this proposal seeks to concentrate activities associated with the business on this site, and in totality the documentation does confirm that currently there are 50 people employed by the business. It's anticipated that as a result of the expansion that would increase to 58. That's full-time employees. This is a view looking back into the site, still stood within the site, so that gives you an idea of the scale of the existing buildings in relation to those transport bodies, container sort of bodies. So these are articulated bodies, and the cabs are sort of parked elsewhere on the site, and this is the weighbridge. So the planting that I showed you earlier is in the background, is that area there. And this is a view from within Ropery Lane. So the car park that I just showed you, the photograph within the site, is in this area here, and this is the entrance to the site from Ropery Lane. So you can see that there's quite sizeable buildings that actually, from this view, will screen the bulk of the buildings that are proposed as part and parcel of the development. The existing buildings are quite substantial. The proposed buildings, the details of the heights of them set out in the committee report, but the inner building is slightly taller than the outer buildings, which are at much lower profile. This is a view looking down Ropery Lane. So the car park's behind this sort of hedgerow here, and as you can see, this is a view back towards the village street, which is there. So to orient yourself, that's the Star Inn in Weaverthorpe. I never remember, it's the Blue Bell or the Blue Ball, but that's the other side of this entranceway on the street frontage. So you're some way from the village street at that point, but you get a feel for what Ropery Lane is and looks like. This is a view back from the other way, so most of you have probably seen this view more than others, but this is the corner of the Star Inn, and this is the road that goes up, and it eventually peters out where it goes past the Ropery Kennels. And at that point, the public right-of-way carries on up to the top of that hill and beyond. So at that point, you further south, you're at the high level looking down on the village. These next few views are views within the village from the main road or from Rarey Drive. This is Rarey Farm, so this is the listed building, and this is a continuation of the range of the single story buildings I was showing you from within the site. There's a gap there, and you can just see, glimpse through the two buildings, that planting that I was showing you from the first photographs that would be removed. This is a view further eastwards looking at the fronts of the former local authority housing that is in Rarey Drive, and you can see that these are in a very distinctive design, semi-detached form with gaps in between. So there are glimpses of buildings in the site, the planting on the site in between the buildings, but they're glimpsed views. And this is a view between number 5 and number 7 in Rarey Drive, where you see between the driveways, you can see that planting that is effectively the boundary of the current site at the moment. And this is the expansion land that is the subject of the current application. In effect, you'll have seen from the planning proposals that whilst that planting's taken out, an extensive planting belt is brought nearer to the back of the houses, so you're still going to be seeing planting in the fullness of time, but it's nearer to the back of the properties. This view, this is the kennels on Ropery Lane in the distance, and this photograph is taken from a much higher level. So you're on the public right-of-way here. Ropery Lane is petered out to this public right-of-way, and this is what can only describe as extensive screening adjacent to that public right-of-way. So it effectively screens view from the higher ground to the south, looking north towards the site. It sort of really accentuates the view that it's in a dip, so that's how it all fits. This view is from the north, and this is from the road and public footpath outside of the church at Weaverthorpe. So those of you who are familiar with Weaverthorpe, the church is outside of the village, set up on the hillside. And from here, it gives you a feel of that you're on the landscape. The village is in the bottom of the valley floor, and the landscape then's rising up again, out, going in the Driffield sort of direction. So again, you're in this valley floor location. This view from here, you can just catch the expansion land area. This is Rarey Drive, and this is that parcel of land. This next view is actually taken from the churchyard, and probably is the clearest view from higher land. Obviously, you're not on the public footpath at that point, but you're in the churchyard. So again, you get a feel for what the existing buildings look like in the landscape, that belt of planting which would largely come out, the buildings proposed in this area here, and then the lower profile buildings going in this area here, and this is Rarey Drive again. So you can see that at the moment the development is surrounded on three sides by the site is surrounded on three sides by buildings. I took these photographs yesterday following on from receipt of the plan that you've got on the desk in front of you, because this is the southern boundary of the site from within the site. These are the existing buildings on their southern side, and you can see in this area where tyres are stacked, and these are stacked in various arrangements, but they're no more than 4 metres high because that's the limitation that's on them. And as you pan round, this is how they appear currently on the site, and it's in this area that the applicant wishes to still carry on some open storage on the back of the existing site. And although this is quite a dark photograph, Chairman, that's the inner boundary that would be removed, and there would be some potential storage on this side of the building as shown on that plan, but quite close to it. At the moment, this tyre is stored in greater locations on the existing site, so some of that on the basis of this plan would be taken away, especially on the northern side. I took this view because it's sort of looking straight down that boundary, and in the distance you can see the church, so that's looking back from within the site. Obviously that's not a public view, but I thought it gave you an idea of how the land levels are either side of this site. So it's an unusual one in the sense that it's quite a well concealed site really from where it is, but there are views if you look for them. But I've nothing else to add at this stage.
The first speaker we have is on behalf of the Parish Council, Mr. Shellard.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. I'm representing Weaverthorpe Parish Council, and we have previously supported the first application, and then when the application changed and the applicant didn't take much note of our comments and submitted a revised application that didn't seem to take into consideration the comments that we'd made, we subsequently objected to the application, and that's our current position. We've objected on the grounds that the access along Ropery Lane, which you've seen a picture of, is quite narrow, and the application is to increase the amount of traffic using that site. It might be to decrease the traffic at their other locations, but it's to increase the traffic, doubling the traffic at Weaverthorpe, and Ropery Lane is not wide enough to accommodate two lorries travelling side by side. At the moment, lorries reverse onto Ropery Lane, leaving the site. The applicant stated that they would travel around the site in the new formation and be able to drive onto Ropery Lane. The applicant, up until today, had told us that there would be no outside storage of tyres. They've made a separate note of that. And that seems to change the basis of the application as well, and we've thought Parish Council has not had an opportunity to review the revision to that application prior to it coming forward to you this evening. The trees that the officer has stated are about 20 years old, cover an area of approximately 110 metres squared, and the applicant is proposing to take all of them away and replace or provide screening around the outer boundary of the site. They haven't specified whether that screening would be provided by trees or hedges, and whether that would be a compatible size to the trees that they're taking away. And as the officer noted, the site currently and semantics allow me to use this word, operates 24 hours a day, which means that vehicles are moving around the site in the middle of the night, and that's spoiling the amenity of those residents that are nearby, and we would like to see some restrictions put on the site today so that we can see that they are they have the capability of adhering to those restrictions prior to the application being approved and moving forward. Thank you very much for the time.
Thank you. Next we have an objector, Mr. House.
Do I just press the button?
It's already on, so you're okay.
I represent the significant number of residents who have objected to the proposal. Those residents are not confined to those adjacent to the site. We note from the officer's report that the MPPF paragraph 84 says it will be important to ensure that the development is sensitive to its surroundings and does not have an impact on local roads, and that it recognises the importance of highway safety. The report states the applicants, in consolidating their operations at Weaverthorpe, will reduce the amount of vehicle movements. Currently, there is an average of 30 movements per day. The consultants have stated that after the development has taken place, this will increase to 59 movements per day. This means, on average, we will have an HGV passing through our village every 11 minutes for 12 hours a day, turning our quiet rural community into a noisy industrial estate. HGV movement in Ropery Lane has long been a major issue. Highways have stated there may be an issue along Ropery Lane, and we believe there is a real risk to life. When the glamping site, which is opposite the entrance to the applicant's site, was granted planning permission, Highways insisted on a footway to give a safe haven to pedestrians. There is no footway at the lane's narrowest point, which is 5.6 metres wide. Two HGVs are 5.3 metres wide. Research on road width design, where traffic shares the road with pedestrians, suggests a minimum width of 6.8 metres. If the permission is granted, the risk of serious injury will increase, as the lane is not suitable for two HGVs to pass safely where there are often pedestrians or equestrian users present. Altogether in the village, there are over 70 beds for tourists, which contributes a significant amount to the local economy. Rydell's local plan strategy states their desire to increase tourism in the Wolds, but with increased traffic in our relatively quiet village, there is a danger that tourism will decrease, directly contrary to that strategy. The felling of 1,100 square metres of mature woodland will have a major impact on biodiversity. It is stated in the report that the planting of trees around the building will replace the biodiversity lost by felling the trees.
30 seconds left.
The mature woodland is currently home to many species who will not be able to survive in newly planted trees and a young hedge. The landscape value lost by felling this mature woodland will be noticeable on all approaches to the village in a landscape that is lacking in mature woodland. The view from our Grade 1 listed church will be substantially harmed. Finally, the applicant states there will be employment opportunities created by this expansion. There have been no local employees for some time, and we have no confidence this will change. Thank you.
Thank you.
And now we have the agent, Mr. Windress.
Thank you, Chair. I certainly don't want to repeat what's contained in the report already. Certainly very well balanced and highlights the significant support in both local and national policy for the expansion of businesses such as this on sites in this sort of area. Velco are a well-established local family-owned company with clients and markets based all over the world, and they want to enhance their reputation in the village itself and with the residents, which I appreciate has not been great over the years, and this is a significant opportunity to improve this. Velco, they have, myself and other representatives have met with the Parish Council on three occasions, and each time we've sought to take on board those comments and been very open with how we want to take those comments and look to change things. Over the last 18 months since the initial positive feedback that we had from the planning office under a pre-application inquiry, we have moved the buildings further away from the residential properties. We've sought to improve the access, and now that is a significant improvement to what we have at the moment. So vehicles can leave the site in a forward gear and therefore remove this reversing that we have at the moment. Furthermore, we had a significant tree belt all the way along the boundary of the site. But again, some of the feedback we were having was from residents that didn't want trees throughout the boundary. So we've changed that now to both hedgerows and trees to allow both screening and a significant separation. That separation is now 35 metres to the properties. So therefore, it's a significant distance away. Velco currently operate without any planning restrictions. It's grown over the years as the business itself has grown from the original small family business that it was. This gives the opportunity to control the hours of use at the site, which currently does include some certainly early morning for the longer journeys that they go on when they're delivering tyres. There are vehicles leaving at 4 a.m. and Velco have already committed to changing that process, and as part of this application allows a number of conditions to be applied to both the existing site and the extending site to control those hours. Furthermore, the noise at the site has been proven in the technical reports and accepted by the council to be reduced through the noise buffering that the new planting and screening will do. Importantly, the expansion of the site allows for an improved efficiency. At the moment, the site includes lots of moving the tyres around from other sites and from within the sites, whereas this expansion allows the tyres to be stored, some which are stored for a long time, to therefore be kept within those units and not have to move for a number of times, so reducing forklift and vehicle movements. Again, we continue to committing to improving the relationship with the residents, and we've issued an action log recently on the back of a recent meeting where Velco have already undertaken a number of improvements to their operations on the site, and we will continue to take that forward with the conditions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just a couple of points from all of the speakers, really, Chairman. But I mean, I think in terms of this, the way that officers have approached this application is that we've not been really starting from a blank canvas, Chairman. We are dealing with a well, long established business that has been said has organically grown over the years, probably predates planning, you know, as far as we can tell in terms of history. But there are no controls over hours of use or things of that ilk, which are potentially things that we can control through this current application. So at the moment, the agent is correct that there are no hours of use limitations on the existing activity whatsoever. And because of the nature of the way the site's been put forward as a complete red line proposal, it's given the case officers the opportunity to look at what's being offered here, and in terms of the hours of operation, as far as we can tell, the offer of a 7-to-7 activity is reasonable. It's one that's been offered as a condition. It's one that we think is a reasonable condition, so that we can impose it and potentially then, if it ever got challenged, defend it, which is the other key issue. Sometimes we get things offered up that aren't really necessarily reasonable and meeting all the tests of conditions. So that gives us an opportunity as a potential benefit, because certainly some of the concerns we've had have been about early morning noise and disturbance associated with things at 3 and 4 in the morning, as we've heard. And clearly at that time, when ambient noise levels are low, it's more intrusive than it is in the heart of the day. Comments have been made about the Ropery Lane and the road network, and clearly that has something that has been sort of evolved as the application's gone on. But I'd just like to quote a few words from the comments from the area engineer, Mr. Boyne, as recently as the 20th of June, which obviously you'll have seen that this application's been with us for some time. But in terms of the revised plans and information which we'd notified him of as the start of June, he goes on to say, if it is noted that the revisions take on board the gist of the comments of my earlier consultation of March 17, notwithstanding that there may still be an issue with amenity along the lane, which is not his, that's not his issue, that's ours to consider, it'll add to the activities on the site and revised access arrangements. The proposal now submitted increases the existing access width at the site and provides carriageway widening over a section of highway verge that is now capable of passing 2 HGVs either on the highway or at the access as illustrated on the proposed site layout. So that was an issue that's come up just from the speakers just there. So whilst the amended position is not totally clear of the existing glamping site, which is on the opposite side of Ropery Lane entrance, it does give a reasonable separation such that any conflict is unlikely to be significant. So again, he's balancing the current, I'll say free-for-all, Chairman, but the current unrestricted nature of the existing activity with what can be derived from this application. So all the time here, there's a balance of a judgment being made. And officers have considered all of this and considered that the balance now lies in favour of the application, but subject to quite a number of conditions, as we've recommended, plus the added conditions that are reported earlier tonight, Chairman. So that's really all.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the officer? Councillor Potter.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I noticed from the initial photographs the ground was very wet. Was that just because they were taken after a heavy rainstorm, or is the...
I think they were taken last year, Chairman.
Yeah, well, yeah. I noticed that, yeah. But is it? I would assume that given the where it is, that there wasn't really a problem with drainage.
Well, that was yesterday. We're not aware of any particular drainage issue.
Right.
We've not had any adverse comments to the application from any of the bodies. Because this is a major application, we've had to consult just about everybody. We've not had any adverse reactions on drainage grounds.
Right, thank you. Just another one. I know you said that the employment was projected to increase from 50 to 58. Are you aware of whether that's just... I note from the rest of the text that they were trying to rearrange their current sort of workforce in other locations as well. So is it, do you know if this is going to be additional employment or just moving people from other sites?
The gist of this proposal is to consolidate from other sites. Most of the other sites are in East Riding to this site. In terms of the information we've got, it's currently that level of FTE employment is 50, and that will expand to 58. I can't give you details of whether those people are involved in the office, or the extra ones would be office or people who operate forklifts or do more of the actual work, which is remoulding tyres. So that's the business, really. The tyres come in, and the processing of it, as I was advised on site yesterday, is that when the tyres come in, it takes about 2 months for a tyre to go its route round the factory, and then it's off to wherever they go.
Yeah, I was just more concerned whether that increase in employment was simply moving existing employees from other sites to this site, or whether there would actually be some increase, but I don't know whether you're aware of that or not.
I don't know the precise answer to that. My understanding is that the company currently employs 50 FTEs, I'm looking at the agent, and as a result of this expansion on this site, that number will increase to 58, but I get the impression it's across the company, not all of the sites.
Thank you. Councillor Jean-Houdin.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'd like to ask the officer, with increased activity or proposed movement of vehicles over Ropery Lane, the bridge there, will it be capable, is it sustainable, it will be able to carry the additional weight and traffic, or does it need strengthening?
I can't answer that question, but there is a requirement for a highway condition survey. It is recommended in the paperwork, and so I would imagine that will pick up all of the immediate road network to at least the B12, whichever number it is. I never remember the number of that road. 1248, isn't it? But it does require a survey recording of the structural condition of the existing highway culvert bridge under Ropery Lane at the junction of Main Street, so they're asking for that by way of condition. So I don't think they even know. They're saying they want it surveyed to see whether or not it's up to it.
And what would happen if the report came back saying that the bridge couldn't sustain the additional traffic? Okay. Yes, please.
Unless otherwise approved in writing, there should be no HCVs brought onto the site in association with the development being brought into use until a survey recording the structural survey condition of the existing highway culvert bridge under Ropery Lane at the junction with Main Street, so I take that to be the Gypsy Race, has been carried out in a manner approved in writing by the LPA in consultation with the Highway Authority. At the expiration of 24 months of the development being brought into use, and within a period of 3 months thereafter, a further structural survey shall be undertaken in a similar manner, and any identified deterioration of the culvert bridge shall be made good at the applicant's expense, in agreement and in accordance with the due process required for working within the public highway to the satisfaction of the local planning authority in consultation with the Highway Authority.
Thank you.
Councillor Andrews.
Yes, I was interested in the discussions which have taken place between the applicant and the parish council. Are the officers aware of these discussions? And could they just outline very, very briefly what the main differences are between the parish council's position and the applicant's position? I know it's set, they're set out. We have a long letter in front of us, but I'm not too clear where the parish council is unhappy.
I don't really know how to respond to that question, really, Chairman. I mean, clearly the Weaverthorpe Parish Council's comments are set out in the committee report, and you've got them there. There's quite a long list of them. Officers haven't been party to the meetings that have taken place over the months between the parish residents and the applicant and their agents. But clearly, quite a lot of the first part of the letter is referring to arrival of HGVs out of hours, although there are no current hours. So we've got references to activity at 4 a.m, for example. Now, if this permission was to be granted, then that would be controlled by the condition that's being proposed, which is suggesting a 7 till 7 activity for the whole site. Yes. So clearly some of those comments have talked about not just the fact that there's been 4 o'clock movement, but tannoy activity associated with a lorry going out at 4 o'clock in the morning. So if it's not happening, then you wouldn't need the tannoy. You know, there wouldn't be anything to be directing or controlling. They make reference to the tree survey, and that's evolved over the processing of the application. So the planting that you see, I've shown you on those photos, is all proposed within the site to be removed. But the view of the countryside officer is that, well, actually, that's more than offset by the proposed planting on the peripheries of the site, which is itself has been widened over the processing of the application, so it's roughly 10 metres wider than it started. And in answer to one of the questions, that will involve tree planting rather than just hedgerow planting as part of the scheme to satisfy that planning condition. But there's always a bit of an omelets and egg situation where you're getting rid of an existing well-established planting line and planting something new. You're probably looking at, you know, anywhere between 4 and 10 years for planting to start to get to a point where you've got a profile of planting that's got you height and depth and all the rest of it. But the countryside management officer is looking at it both from an ecological point of view and a landscaping point of view, is saying, well, there is a longer term view of this, and that the additional planting over a period of time is a net gain, but there's some loss to start off with. So that sort of covers the first phase. There is a reasonable point that's been made by the parish council about the construction phase, because clearly to create that these buildings and the manoeuvring and the concreted areas is a significant task in itself. But the application recommendation does propose a construction environment management plan, so that, you know, as to how we control the construction phase to make sure that in itself is not creating a problem. So again, it's a point there, but it's picked up by a condition to mitigate, so that, you know, the people aren't building it at 10 at night or 4 in the morning. So that's been picked up. Hours of operation we've already talked about, an outside storage of tyres. I think the parish had taken the view, and I think the parish council chairman said again tonight, that they understood there would be no outside storage at all on the site. I think that was the case officer's understanding. What I've reported to you at the start of this meeting was actually, well, that's broadly the case, but there is still an area on the existing site, on the southern side, which is least visible, where the applicant would wish to still have some limited amount of storage, which is on the plan that's in front of you.
Is there any point in sort of sending the applicant away to have further discussions with the parish council?
Well, that's a choice for yourselves, Chairman, as the planning committee. I mean, we're making a recommendation to you that we think that additional request is not unreasonable. It does still get away from the situation where I was witnessing on site yesterday, where there were tyres still stacked further to the north, nearer to residences in the main street and probably visible from properties in Rarey Drive. Where I took these photographs from yesterday, you can't see those. You can't see those from outside the site. So in conclusion, it's a balanced decision, Chairman. It gives us a potential to derive some benefits where currently there aren't any, but it's coupled with development that is making the site appreciably larger.
Councillor Shields.
Following on what Gary was saying a moment ago about the trees and the landscaping and so on, I was sorry to hear from a resident, I think, about the loss of trees. How many trees are actually going to be lost before we get to the landscaping and the new application?
Mrs. Shields, I couldn't count them yesterday because it's almost like trees that have become a large hedgerow. They're like overgrown trees that are all in one line. So if I can...
There's a tree officer. Or do we have a tree officer? Right. Has he made any comments on this?
We don't think there's a wider landscape impact that isn't offset by mitigating and planting. Okay. In terms of the ecological aspects of losing mature trees, there is an immediate loss because you're losing mature trees, but the council's tree and countryside management officer has basically said that he's balancing that against the longer term benefit of more planting, which he thinks is a net gain. So there will be an immediate loss, but in the fullness of time there will be a gain. So he's not objecting to the application.
I was very sorry to hear trees, and mature trees coming down, that's all.
It's a bit of an omelettes and eggs situation, Chairman. I mean, I think in terms of that, yes, clearly the trees that have grown there, which are probably 20 or plus years old, that's the estimation of the countryside management officer, are well established. So that they are, you can see them. But in terms of what could be replaced, in terms of the added width of planting that has been negotiated through the development, which will include a profile of planting, that ultimately you could end up with a better planting belt than what is currently on the site at the moment. But it will be further east and it will be further south and further north. So that's what the plans that you've got in front of you are showing.
Just before I come to you, Councillor Maud, Councillor Shields, if you look at page 20 on your, or page 60, beg your pardon, on your design action statement, there's a photograph of looking down, so you'll be able to see the line of trees that you're concerned about on the site. Councillor Maud.
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, I believe I heard the agent then, Mr. Windrus, say that. Currently, there isn't a very good relationship between the company and the village, and they hope that this will, with this development, there could be some improvement. Did I hear rightly?
Wasn't sure how to interpret that, Chairman. I think the agent was acknowledging that there had been issues between the operation of the factory in the past and impact in the village that, had been borne out through discussions. We've not been party to those discussions, Chairman. We're dealing with the merits of a planning application. And clearly, there are pros and cons with most applications, as there are with this one. But the balance, in officers' views, lies in favour of the grant of a planning permission. But because we've had the objections, and because we've had the shifting views of the parish council over the time they've had discussions with the developer and the agent, it stands referred to you, because there is that dispute, there is a difference of opinion. So we're giving you a clear recommendation, and it's for you to decide what you do with that recommendation, Chairman. That's the role of the planning committee.
Are there any further questions for the officer? If not, then we will... Sorry, you've got a question, Councillor Hope. Yep.
Yeah, sorry, have we heard any more, and apologies if I've missed it, but about the VAT survey?
The countryside management officer has suggested, because the two ash trees that were at one point going to be kept that then were decided not to be kept because they were basically, it was worried, there was a view that they wouldn't survive. So that was reviewed and amended in part of this process. The countryside management officer, who deals with matters of landscaping and ecology, had identified that there was potential for bat activity in those two trees that would require a further bat survey, so hence the suggestion of an additional condition that I made at the start of the meeting, Chairman.
No further questions? We shall go into debate. We'll go into debate, and as the ward member, Councillor Jean Udine, would you like to take this one?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I think in any rural location like this, where you've got an industrial site, it's incredibly important for both for all parties to work together and to have some sort of cohesion. That seems to have broken down in this case, and I understand the concerns of the residents and also the local local parish council. I would actually move in this instance, move to go to a site visit, because in its present state, I would be minded to go against the officer recommendation and to reject the proposal as it is at the moment.
So you're wishing to move a site visit?
I'm recommending a site visit.
Thank you. Councillor Cleary.
I will second that. And I'll second a site visit.
It has been moved and seconded for a site visit. So I'll put that to the vote, please.
Chair.
That has been approved, and a site visit will be arranged. Thank
Chair,
you.
Can I just Thank ask you. That when we have the site visit, the parish council could be given an opportunity to state exactly what it is to show the members exactly what it is that they're unhappy with visually. I mean, I know this will be being done in the papers, but if somebody from the parish council could actually be there and visually show exactly what it is that they're worried about, that might help members.
Chairman, the site visit is Chairman, you've got to be very careful here. The site visit is not a committee. The site visit is a fact-finding tool, and so site visits do not discuss the merits or otherwise of the planning application. But you know, if it is a situation where the parish council, who are perfectly welcome to attend the site visit, as you're aware, wish to point out factual information that they wish the members of the committee to see and appreciate, then and yes, of course. But it must be made clear that we can't discuss the merits of the case which are debated in this chamber. So the parish council will be advised of the date, which is usually a fortnight from today. Oh, no, it might be yesterday, because we're in an odd committee day yesterday. Today, because of the Rydale show, then we would advise the parish of the date and time of the meeting.
Thank you. So we'll now move on to agenda item 8, which is application at 23A Willow Court, Pickering.
This application site relates to 23A Willow Court, which is a first floor flat located within Willow Court, which is a sheltered housing development within the town centre limits of Pickering. It is also within the... Oh, right, I'll get louder. So the application site relates to 23A Willow Court, which is a first floor flat located within a range of 26 sheltered accommodation units. The site is just south of the A170 in Hun Gate, and it also falls within the Pickering Conservation Area and Flood Zone 3. This is a view of the pedestrian access from Hun Gate into Willow Court. And this is a view of the vehicular access from Recreation Road into Willow Court. So it's just kind of nestled between the two roads. This application seeks retrospective permission for the change of use of a first floor flat from residential to office space, and it is a retrospective application. The site, this particular flat, had been the residence of a warden who had been kind of the live-in warden for the residents of the sheltered accommodation. There's been no warden there, I believe, since mid-2016, so it's been at least 2 years without a dedicated residential warden. We have received 5 letters of objection in relation to this application, in addition to 1 letter of objection from the Parish Council. Those letters of objection have been fully summarised within my report, which I haven't wished to kind of repeat because there are quite a lot of detailed issues being raised. One of the most consistent concerns is the loss of a residential warden for the residents. And concern that the change of use which has been applied for would prevent another residential warden being on site in the future. The letters of objection raised the point that the kind of draw of having a residential warden on site was quite important in deciding to locate to a low court, which can be appreciated. We've had a detailed review of the planning history of the site, and whenever it was approved in 1987, there was no specific manager's accommodation ever approved. It was simply 26 residential units for those of an age, I think it's over 55 normally. And it appears that on that basis, while we can understand the concerns of residents who have made representations, there's no legal requirement for us to require the approved scheme to maintain that residence unit, that warden's unit. And there's no kind of requirement in terms of planning policy to maintain an on-site staff presence, or as well provide any kind of specific office space for meeting rooms for the residents of Willow Court. As noted within the report, there hasn't been a residential warden for approximately 2 years, and to refuse the change of use application and formally maintaining the site as a flat for a warden wouldn't automatically mean that somebody would come along who could fulfil that criteria. The other concern that was raised within the letter of objection, which is the concern that the use of the site for an office is up some quite steep stairs and isn't suitable for the residents of Willow Court, has been explored. The agent has actually commented that where that may have been suggested by previous wardens, it isn't somewhere that they would invite residents to have meetings now, and that's all organised for appropriately accessible off-site locations. It's also not considered that this type of change of use application would have any impact in terms of residential amenity. We've recommended a condition to ensure that any approval will be tied so that this proposed office accommodation would only be used by people who are working in terms of the sheltered accommodation unit, so it wouldn't be kind of free market office accommodation, which could obviously lead to impacts in terms of amenity. Our council environmental health specialist and North Yorkshire Highways officers have not raised any concerns or objections to the proposal. It's also not considered that this proposal, which wouldn't have any physical alterations required, would have any harm in terms of the conservation area or flood zone. So subject to condition, we consider that the proposed change of use is acceptable with regard to local and national policy, and we've offered a recommendation for approval. And that's just another view of the flat there. It's the first floor flat. Thank you.
Thank you, Niamh. Do we have any questions for the officer? Councillor Potter.
Yep, thank you, Chair. It seems to be a very unsatisfactory situation all around this. Would it be possible or acceptable to have a condition whereby this property would revert to residential if a warden were to be appointed or found? Is that going to be a possible?
I think if that was the case, there could be an application put forward by the management company for a change of use to residential. And in light of the existing use and the history involved, I think it would be something that was likely to be considered acceptable.
Yeah, it's just that to me it seems ridiculous that we've got to go through a planning application to change it from residential to an office. There's still a requirement for it to be residential if at all possible, if a warden could be found. And I would like to think that this could automatically revert to residential if a warden was to be found. But it's the legality of the whole affair that I'm not sure of.
Councillor Potter, we're in this position because we've had complaints that there isn't a residential warden in there. It's somebody who works there a certain amount of time. And I think residents would prefer that than nothing. But clearly their ideal would be a resident who lived there who happened to be a warden who's on call 24 hours. But that's not going to happen, is really what we're being told by the applicant. And that's been the case for 2 years. So I think it's the least worst in terms of that. If it turned out, and not that anybody's expecting this, that somebody did come out of the woodwork who was potentially a living warden, then clearly we wouldn't have any issue with it. But in answer to your question, it probably would need an application to revert it back. But I really honestly don't think we would have the slightest shred of a worry with it. It's just this is, I think, the best of a bad job.
Yeah, I can appreciate that, but I mean, again, my concern is that if this is seen to be an office officially, and they are trying to recruit a warden, and they could well say, if they were minded to, that, you know, they haven't got a residential place, you know, so it doesn't give so much chance of appointing a warden. And I'm well aware that the people would rather have a warden there. And yet, if there was a condition on there that clearly stated that in the event that they employed somebody as a warden, it would revert to be a warden's flat, then that hopefully would prevent whoever the managing company, you know, sort of suiting themselves, as it were. So, really, my question is, is there anything to stop that being a condition in legal terms? Because I'd like to propose that if it was at all possible.
It's not what's applied for, but you're potentially prejudging a planning application. I don't think you can give a permission for this duality of use. And what the applicant, the site owner, I guess the head...
Management Company, Action Housing,
have got to the point where they've exhausted those options. I don't think they believe that it will happen. And so they've, because of the complaints, and we've had complaints from people saying, you're not doing anything here. We've had to chase this application in to get to a point where there's a lawful position. And the lawful position will be, if we grant planning permission to this tonight, that will draw a line under this. Who knows what might happen in 5 years' time, but I think for the time being, I think Accent Housing are pretty certain in their minds that this is the best they're going to be able to offer.
I think the new warden is actually a part-time position as well, so it kind of gives an indication of what they need on site.
Councillor Shales.
I just wanted to go back to the photograph showing the doors. Are the flats and the houses, because there's a mixture, are they in numerical order straight, or are they, you know, odd 2, 4, 6, 8 sort of thing? Can you tell me? I know someone who lives one of the houses further back up there after. I'm just trying to work out whether the place, the actual bit that we're talking about, is a proper flat upstairs, and is it separate from a flat downstairs?
Yes.
Or is it simply, yes, not simply a part of a house again, is it then?
Yeah, it is separate. I've had a look at the plan and permission. There was a range of different properties there, but there's 26 units, but because of the use of A's and B's, we don't get up that far. So the ones in question are kind of separated flats.
Yeah, right.
And they're in odds and evens all over the whole site.
Okay.
Councillor Andrews. Can you put your microphone on, please?
Yes, I beg your pardon. What I don't quite understand is if this office is being used in connection with accident housing at the moment, what would the practicalities be if we simply refused permission and decided to enforce the application? Would that encourage them to put a warden back, do you think?
It would leave the site empty because it's not actually a condition requiring a manager.
There's nothing to say you must leave it.
No. Any further questions? No, we'll move into debate. Councillor Potter, this one is local to you. Would you like to take it?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yeah, you see, it's just one of those very unsatisfactory situations all round where there's clearly a desire and a need for a warden and they're not able to find one. And I find it rather concerning that the loss of this turning it into an office could even make finding a warden even more difficult. And yet, well, plus the fact that there would be loss of a residential property for sheltered accommodation, but given the fact of that we've already got the McCarthy and Stone and the Moulton Road developments, there's not exactly a mass shortage in Pickering. So it's a bit of a fait accompli that if the alternative is to leave the flat empty because we say that they can't use it as an office, then that doesn't really help anybody. And other than all those unsatisfactory situations, I think it's something that we're just more or less obliged to go along with. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody else wish to speak? Councillor Pott, did you move the recommendation, or are you happy?
Yes, I'm quite happy to move for approval.
Okay, lovely. Councillor Andrews, you're going to second that. So it has been moved and seconded, so we'll put that to the vote. Councillor Maud, have you voted? Oh, are they? Lovely, that has been approved. Moving to agenda item 9, any of the business is just to arrange a date for the site visit. I'm looking at the 14th of August. Well, I'd like 9:30, but you guys will most probably prefer 10 o'clock. 9:30. Fabulous. Well done, Elizabeth. Well,
probably it would be a good hour because you, in addition to the site, you need to view it from the high and low points, you know, around.
9:30. Are we all okay? Lovely. Well, can we put that on the letter? Is that okay? Lovely. Thank you. So 9:30 on the 14th. Agenda item 10 is a list of applications determined under delegated powers. And agenda item 11 is the appeals, which I believe Gary would just like to say a few words on.
Yes, the first appeal, which was a permitted development barn conversion proposal that was allowed. But the reason, one of the reasons it was allowed was that the appellant changed the size of the barn and brought it under the limits, so it suddenly became permitted development. So it sort of the appeal changed under our feet from what we'd actually determined. And the agent had a pop at us for cost, but got told to go away. So that was good. But the second appeal, which was one relating to a traveller's accommodation at Upper Helmsley, has caused us to scratch our heads, and we're still actually waiting for a response from the planning inspectorate, because the inspector upheld the enforcement notice, which you'll see, so he dismissed that appeal, but then allowed the planning appeal, but which was applied for on a permanent basis, but he granted it a temporary planning permission. And it's unclear whether the inspector thought that the enforcement notice would still be in effect, having granted a temporary planning permission. But having looked at that with the council solicitor, it appears that the temporary planning permission has had the effect of overruling the enforcement notice. So what it means is that we're going to have to remain vigilant for the limited period that the planning permission exists, and be in a position to reissue an enforcement notice upon the expiry of the temporary planning permission. So that's quite a complicated decision, as you'll appreciate. So we will be writing to both the appellant and the local parish council to advise them of what this all means, because it's a 14-page decision letter that I think my take is that the inspector wound himself up into knots and didn't actually give anybody what they'd applied for, and has left the appellant really no further forward other than he's bumped it down the road 3 years. So it's a bit of an odd one, really, but as I say, we're still waiting for a formal response from the planning inspector as to what the inspector's intentions actually really were. So we do need to be vigilant.
Lovely, thank you. That ends the meeting, so I therefore close it. Thank you all for attending, and have a safe journey home.